Five, four, three, two, one. I'm John Miglosh for the WDMA. And we're going to be talking about testing and direct mail today. But first, a little fun ad of the day. Carlsberg hits humorous note with story of how music originated. I think it's historical fiction, but let's go anyway. Here we go.
Do the best things begin with curiosity? Probably.
Okay, probably the best beer in the world. So let's get over to Amy Houston and see what she has to say about it. She says, the beer brand launched a brand new global campaign that will run in all 120 markets. Pretty universal. They can tag the bottom, the other side, in any language they like. Okay? And it begins in the modern day and works its way backwards through, a big concert and then a jazz theme and then Mozart and the Roman Emperor or the Roman Empire and back to the cave days, and there they invent music playing on the Carlsberg bottle top. We won't spend a lot of time on this. Apparently there's lots of Easter eggs. I noticed the Carlsberg logo, the three leaf hops, I think it is, plant. But anyway, thanks for that, Amy Houston. Okay, there's a funny story from futurism.com. The person who is in charge of OpenAI's $175 million fund appears to be fake. Jacob Vespers does not exist to our knowledge. And yet, according to Business Insider, OpenAI has a $175,000 million startup fund. And the person in charge of it, Jacob Thomas Vespers, is completely fake. And documents were filed with the Secretary of State. Why they did that, we don't know. But Sam Altman, the CEO, is in charge of the fund now, where it probably makes sense. And so maybe Maybe the AGI that everybody's so worried about is already online and quietly trying to seize control itself. Just kidding, right? More on fake people. You can find out about Sports Illustrated, published articles by fake AI-generated writers. I think they even put bios together for them. Yes, well, one counter to that, to instantly creating fake identities and fake documents and fake funds, is direct mail. Direct mail has credibility. When you get something like this in the mail, you know there's a company behind it, Land's End. You know that there's some work that went into this. It wasn't just sitting there magically evolved. So, anyway, many nonprofits find that old-fashioned direct mail still plays a vital role in fundraising. This is by Ann Field, and it's from ANA.net. God bless ANA, who's trying to remind us that there are benefits to mail. I wish the post office spent a little bit of time on that, but they don't seem to. But Lisa Smith works hard at informing us, and I hope she had something to do with that. Anyway, at the Canadian Red Cross, direct mail is as important as it ever was, says Andrew George, director of Direct and Integrated. That reliable source of income continues to grow. Direct mail donations amount to approximately 30% of the organization's undesignated funds. Observers have predicted the demise of direct mail, for reaching and cultivating nonprofit donors. But, you know, direct mail has survived. Mail is a very efficient way to reach a lot of people, says George. New ways, there people are looking at new ways to boost the effectiveness and efficiency of direct mail. This is a really good article, by the way. Thank you, Anne. Direct mail is still the largest source of newly acquired donors for most organizations, says Roger Hyama, executive VP at Wyland. Okay. And they would know, you know, they know what, who's mailing what and how many pieces they're mailing and whether they're going up or down. And 85 to 90% of new donors originate from direct mail solicitations, he notes. You know, I don't know on that, about that 30% number up above. Is that 30% of the money comes in envelopes? That'd be high. I know one of the mailers in our Wisconsin Large Mailers Roundtable said they still got about 25% of their orders through the mail, which is staggering if you ask me. But hey, it's not far from that number. So maybe that's what that number was about. The other numbers in the article seem to be higher. Mail also outperforms everything from total amount raised to retention rates when compared to online methods. According to Hyama, about 65% of revenues are derived from direct mail, with digital accounting for the rest. That must be overall, okay? According to Michaela King, at the Sierra Club, nonprofits typically raise 5 to 10 times more revenue via direct mail than from digital. One of the things I think is really interesting is that nonprofits, I think, went into digital whole hog quicker, but I think they also had better retention, better lifetime value than a lot of the for-profit mailers. And so they could have a little bit of margin. And what happened was they started to see that the retention and the repeat donating was lower from the digital world. And so they quickly reinstated their mail. Whereas a lot of the retailers and other people, you know, went for a couple of years before they figured it out, and by then they were pretty much out of business. I had several clients just go under because they stopped mailing. They just stopped, which is a heck of a way to test. Not the right idea. With Musician's Friend, we tested every year. We tested massive holdout tests to see if we could do without the mail, and we never could. It always won. It always won by lot. We had generally a 300% our return on investment, which is great, you know. So anyway, nonprofits report stronger retention rates for donors who give after receiving a direct mail solicitation versus those who are contacted online. Yeah, and I've had several clients who it wasn't worth mailing the people that came in via digital channels, remailing until you got around to the next year. You know, normally in the catalog industry, we would take the Christmas buyers and mail them right away in January. But if they came from digital, they were worse than the oldest buyers we tested. So the cost of acquisition also can be as high as $200 in digital. They do generate more money sometimes, but in direct mail, the cost of acquisition is $10 to $100. So 1/20th to 1/2 as much. Awesome. Nonprofit leaders' attribute these trends to multiple factors. For one thing, people over 65 account for the vast majority of direct mail donations because they're at a stage of life when people boost their giving, right? The personnel it takes to manage email campaigns are much more expensive. That I thought was interesting. They're probably taking advantage of us old guys who just want to do some mail. And that's okay, I guess. When we send out, they got to spend it on something in email because it's almost free. So they can plow as many out there into the world. I read the other day that there were 600 billion emails sent every day now. 600 billion, right? There's only 6 or 8 billion people, and a billion or two don't have internet. Wow. Yeah. When we send out a direct mailing, we tend to have a spike in web traffic, King says. This is, she's, where's King? Michaela King. Oh, we mentioned her already. Okay. Yeah, something that's easy to track. You can also do holdout tests and find the incremental lift of mail. Older donors are increasingly leaving bequests to nonprofits in their wills, said Robert Fuller from World Wildlife Fund. George says retention of its mail-acquired monthly donors is roughly 90% after the first year. And that's pretty consistent with what I've seen. I've seen 60%, you know, 60% drop off or more in the first year. So, which means that the average file has about 60% one-time buyers, more one-time buyers than anything else. But also, but once they stick, once they come back, especially if they're not highly rewarded to come back, they just pretty much come back on their own, then they do stick pretty well after that. Okay, rates for nonprofit marketing mail letters have gone up 25%, so there's some costs that have gone up. But you can do modeling to reduce the mail-related expenses. That has not been my experience. You know, I did some work for the rescue missions around the country, and the cost of modeling, because their list expenses were so low and their postage was low, they were better off more like saturating mailing. We did help them some to find some targets to go after, but it wasn't really modeling. You know, the real modeling, we did some real modeling in the city of Houston and the city of Memphis and one other city, I forget which, where we got all the household addresses and the demographics of every household and looked at their mailing and were able to build a pretty interesting model, better than most prospect models. And it did work, but it didn't offset the lower cost of the saturation mailing. And so they went back without it. Plus, especially on prospects, you don't know very much. The Canadian Red Cross has 400 donor segments. I think that's excessive and probably silly. And when you read the rest of the article, you'll find out that they only vary the message slightly, and it doesn't have anything to do with segments. So Chris Wyatt, managing director at Ducks Unlimited, said, "We try to mail smaller, more targeted lists of donors. Probably a mistake. Keep testing that." It's, you know, Chris, happy to talk to you about it. I'll tag you in the follow-up. More profitable, the result is more profitable, efficient campaigns, right? But you keep losing more information. Okay, unless you keep testing into those other segments. You know, if I had a nickel for every time a client said, "Well, what would have happened if we would have mailed them?" You can't know, right? It's the old hypothetical question. Why does God create people he knows are going to hell? Well, he wouldn't know it if he hadn't created them. Hypothetical people don't make choices. And hypothetical mailings don't have results that we can model. So gradually you get less and less modeling as you use more and more modeling. Very difficult puzzle. Happy to talk about it. Okay, but one of these mailers, let's see, said they're starting to vary the message based on the amount given. That is not new. I remember in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, getting something from the 700 Club, which I donated to, said basically, "You've been donating $15 a month. Could you get it to 20 or something like that? I was impressed that they even knew that I was giving a certain amount. And so that's been around forever. It's basically RFM. If you're not doing that, you might want to consider it. It's an easy thing to do with personalization. You don't even need any kind of laser printer or a fancy schmancy equipment. Donors who've given over a thousand get a mailing focused on sustainability and conservation. Wyatt said, and they had matching funds and did a bunch of stuff, but they said it worked really well. It shows the power of modeling. It does not show the power of modeling. That's not about modeling. Never mind. Using different creative treatments for each individual. It's not every individual. It's just, and if you're not calling up and thanking people who give more than $1,000, you ought to be. Think about that. Or giving them a free gift, a free book, a free something or other, a free calendar, something interesting, okay? But you don't have to, it doesn't have to be at the individual level. But do something nice for big donors, for heaven's sakes. Somebody will. Here's the best part of the article. Frequent tests. Thank you, Anne. Okay, another key tactic is constant testing. And if you've heard me before, you know that mail is the best arena for testing. Every mailing Fuller sends out, she experiments with new strategies, sending a control and a new version. If there isn't a control mentioned in an article, it's not on my hot list. Okay, they tested safeguard the elephants versus stop wildlife crime. Even hunters can get behind stop wildlife crime. And found that the stop wildlife crime was much better. George does at least 4 tests for every direct mail campaign. AI, not so much. Okay. Donors, 40-year-old, then they got a focus group together, but I think best is always, always testing. We will still need to mail a piece of paper, or will we still need to mail a piece of paper to trigger them to donate? It'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the next 5 to 10 years. And that's enough for now. Great article. Thank you again, Lisa at the ANA. Thank you, Ann Field. Have a great day. Like and share. Your friends will know you're smart. Give me a call if you think modeling is the answer to everything. Having done thousands of models, right, for about 100 different major mailers. Bye-bye.